Good morning to all of you, and glad to see everybody here and to welcome our listeners and viewers to us on YouTube. And it is a glorious morning, and I kind of feel like I need to apologize that I'm up here again. I know you were expecting to see Brother Paul, but he's still fighting colds and stuff. I think his resistance is down, so we need to pray for him to get well and to be strong and be able to stay well. And but it is good to be here. The Lord is always with us. He said, where two or three are gathered in his name, he's in the midst. So we welcome him into the midst. And we just, a joke, Paul always tells a joke. And I'm not good at telling jokes, and I hope I can tell this right. Because I thought about it, because it goes along with the scripture that I'm going to talk about today. You know, this young man went to his dad, and he said he wanted to have the keys to the car. And his dad said, well, you go get a haircut, and I'll give you the keys to the car. And he said, well, Jesus had long hair. And you know, his dad didn't give him a hard time about it. And he said, and you know what? In the Bible, it says he walked everywhere he went. So he didn't get the car either. Hey, I think I got through that one that time. But the reason it came to mind is that we're going to do the talk about the Beatitudes today. And, you know, God blessed him with a very wonderful following, and people were walking and following him all the time. And he had just been through a whole session of preaching and healing and all of this. And he ends up on a mountain, doesn't say which one, and it tells what he said, but he is on the mountain. So here we are, reading of the word. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for those is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted, for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, do pray that you would open this passage of scripture. We know we've heard it many a time. Help us to glean something new out of it today, and to know that you do bless your people, in Jesus' name. Amen. I just went through, and when Paul texted me this morning, I'm thinking, okay, there's all these things we can do. We could have testimony, which someday we may do that, you know, if we don't have a message. But I prayed about it, and God brought me to the Beatitudes. So let's look at that, even though it's familiar. Things that are familiar, usually when you read it again, you pick up something that maybe you didn't know before. Okay, those who are poor in spirit. Now, that doesn't mean poor financially, but in their spirit, it says they're humble. People who do not assert themselves. People who sense their spiritual need and seek after God. And you know, when you think about it, if you had everything perfect, and I know you've heard people say this, if nothing ever went wrong in your life, you would never know that God could help you out. And you'd have no need of God. But he wants us to depend on him. He wants to be our Lord and Savior. And there is a song, I'd like to get the music to it. It's called I Call Him Lord, and maybe some of you have heard it. It's a beautiful song. It talks about how the angels called him Jesus and how Mary called him Jesus. But then it gave all the names of the different, you know, that you hear of Jesus. And the song says, but I call him Lord. So, you know, God sees our need. And to have a relationship with him, it's not that it's impossible to be a Christian and to have wealth and to be important. But those who are humble, he wants us, even if we are well-to-do and we, you know, have everything at our beck and call, we still need to be humble in spirit. He does not like us to be proud in ourselves. So we need to stay humble. And in Psalm 34:18, and I didn't mark these this morning, so it won't take too long, I don't think. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And you know, the word contrite comes to mind, and it's in the next passage of Scripture, I'm pretty sure. I didn't have a lot of time to look all these up, but I'm sure it's where David is praying. And in that Scripture, he is calling out to God and asking for forgiveness. And he says, the sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. So being contrite is being sorry for what you've done, realizing that you've fallen short of what you should have done. I remember years ago, I had a little book that it was saying about missing the mark. And it was talking about it being what sin is. We miss the mark. You know, if we have the wrong intentions of what we do things maybe not intentionally, and maybe we don't even realize it's sin. But if we know it's sin and we do it, we know. And, you know, David was a flawed character, as we know. But when he came back to God for forgiveness, he always came in a humble, contrite heart. He always asked God to forgive him because he knew he had sinned. And when we know we have sinned, we need to come to him. And we do need to be humble. You know, you don't come before God and say, God, I'm just a wonderful person. I'm glad you took me into your family because I am a real asset to you. That's not the way it goes. We come and we say, dear Heavenly Father, you know, forgive me for what I've done and put a right spirit within us. Then those, it says, who mourn, it said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, our friend, we were talking about Marvin and Mita yesterday when we visited them. Mita said, you know, I don't know if I can go through this. And we've all been there when we're losing somebody we love. And I said, you will get through this because God will bring you through. He promised us that he would never leave us or forsake us. And all we have to do is call out to him. He is there. He is there. And you need to take heart. And if you don't ask him for comfort, that's on you. But we know that God will be there with you. When we lose someone, if we know the person is a believer and they will go on to be in heaven, you can have comfort. Sometimes it doesn't happen that way, and you don't know, because we are not God. We don't know. And so he does promise us in our sadness, in our hard times, going through illnesses, maybe for yourself. A lot of people have one thing after another, and some people are blessed with good health. You never know. So God will be with you through it all, but he does want us to depend on him. The meek. And it says, you know, I was reading a commentary, and it said, you know, it's not to suggest weakness, but it's power under control and being humble, having humble acceptance of one's lowly position before God. You know, God sent Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And he could have sent him through, and people do believe that, or don't believe that he was the Son of God because of the way he came into this world. He came very lowly. He came to the very low, the poor in spirit, the humble. He didn't come to the palaces and say, hey, you know, your king's here. He didn't say that. But God sent him through poor people, a carpenter and a young Jewish maiden, you know, that they didn't have money or position, but that's who he used to bring him into the world. So it's a meekness, and it says that the meek, will inherit the earth. That's pretty good, isn't it? There's a lot of riches in the earth, but we, you know, the meek will inherit the earth. I've heard a lot of, you know, we see a lot of people who make a lot of money and really are successful, and it doesn't bring them happiness. It doesn't bring them contentment. A lot of people who are very wealthy, they don't know how to handle, some celebrities don't know how to handle all the attention they get. You look at people like, well, I'll just use the example of Elvis Presley. You know, people call him the king. And I kind of listened to that, some of the things about him, because my brother is really into that. At one time, he used to do impersonations and stuff. But anyway, there's a lot of stuff. They did a movie about him and all of this. But, you know, I saw this one clip from a concert of his. And they were yelling to him about being the king. And he said, oh, no, 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 I'm not the king. He said, there's only one king. He knew. But, you know, people tried to make him better. And, you know, he had a tragic ending of a young life. All the attention that he got, all of the, it didn't satisfy him. You know, you could have all the wealth, all the women, all the whatever, cars, all of the everything, attention. It's not enough. There's like this little God vacuum, I've heard people say. There's this little vacuum in our heart that's there for God. God wants a spot in our heart to live with and in us, to rule our lives, and to keep us humble and not feel. Well, look what happened to the devil. You know, Satan was an angel. And he was in heaven, and he thought he was better than God. He was going to, you know, he was the big man. And guess what? You know what happened. He got thrown out. God will not be overtaken. God is God. And so, you know, we can't do that in our life. Nobody can. I don't care who they are. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care how important they are, or how pretty they are, or, you know, nothing works except Jesus Christ coming here to earth to save us. And yesterday, I'll tell you this little story, I wasn't gonna, but about a month ago, I had been to the Dollar Tree. I go there and shop. Anyway, and they had these little booklets, like a little journal, and on it it said, John 3:16, and then it had the scripture printed out. And I thought, well, they'd be cute for my little Bible study. You know, I'm gonna get those. Now, this is a long way back, okay? And we've been doing a study with David Jeremiah, and it's the God that you may not know. And I didn't know what the title was because we have, it's on tape, or CD tape, anyway. And we have guide sheets that go along with it. Well, I didn't know what the scripture was for the day. And so I handed out those little booklets yesterday, and opened up, and the booklet, the lesson was John 3:16, the scripture that went with the lesson. That was just, I couldn't get over that, because that lesson was made a long time ago, you know, because he's, you know, he will have a grouping of lessons that he prepares, and then you can get them and use them in Bible study. And that's what we've been doing. But that was prepared a long time ago. And back early February, I just thought about Valentine's Day, and I thought, well, that's a good idea. And last week, when Paul was here and we had the Bible story for the children, we used that scripture, and he had us all, you know, say the scripture together. But the theme of God sending his son, and like he said, when you read that scripture, that completes the whole thing. That's it. That's the plan of salvation. He's the only way we can get to heaven. It's through this little baby that came humbly in a manger, in with the cows and the sheep, and in very humble manner. So God has a plan. He does not like pride. And then those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, you know, if you don't want to be in the family of God, he will never, never force himself on you. And it says that if you do thirst and hunger after him, you'll be filled. And God promises that if we do open ourselves up, and you know, I like to use the example of the door to your heart. You see these pictures of where Jesus is outside knocking on the door. And there's no handle on the outside of that door. It has to be opened from within. If you ever see that, if you've never noticed that, you look at that old picture of Jesus knocking on the door, and there is no handle. He is not going to say, hey, because what would it gain him to make us serve him? You know, and like the example of the little kids that do something bad, and okay, he had his sister. So you say, okay, Johnny, you go out there and you apologize. And he says, I'm sorry. Well, you know he's not sorry. So it meant nothing. So if we served God because he made us, but he wants us to love him like he loves us. And he's into that. He's a loving God. He's a God of other things too. You know, he does expect us to do the right thing, because there are punishments that someday, and sometimes we do things and we bring condemnation on ourselves and do things that we shouldn't do, and then we pay the price, as we say. The little thing here it had in the commentary says most importantly, those who are hungry for God, they seek justice, and most importantly, God, in whose presence is the fullness of joy. And you know, you can go through rough times. You can go through a lot of pain, and a lot of people are suffering. But you know, through it all, God can give you a joy that you can't describe. And there are times in all of our lives that we go through rough times. But God can give you joy in the middle of it. He will keep your heart close to him if you want him to, if you want to stay near to him. Then it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, it's, you know, you say you reap what you sow. You know, if you're merciful and kind, people will treat you like that. And it's the truth. It's so simple. You know, if you read through this and you think, well, gee whiz, that's very simple. It's very easy to understand what these are, what these beatitudes are. And if we are merciful, it says the helper's compassion and cheerful love toward those who are suffering. The merciful will obtain mercy and find true happiness in being merciful to others. And I can guarantee you, if you are kind, and I used to teach school, and I had these, the last years that I taught, I had first graders, and you're like their mother. It's a very different kind of thing. I had been in fourth grade and third grade and whatever. But I used to tell those little guys, you know, if you don't do anything else but be kind to one another, be kind. I said, it will get you so far in life that, you know, and it does. You think about it. If you go in a huff and you go, blah, 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 you don't get a good response. But if you go in love and in compassion and showing mercy to people, you'll get that back. So then those who are pure in heart, and that's kind of obvious too, for they shall see God. And those who are pure in heart have holy motives, and they are their thought process, they have a clean conscience, and the most holy are the most joyful. I think it's interesting that in the commentary that the word joy keeps coming up. And you know, if your heart is at peace with God, you do have joy. I know before I got saved, I was just a teenager, and I remembered waking up in the middle of the night because they had told us, you know, that Jesus was coming back. And I would wake up and I'd think, oh, I'm not ready. You know, you hear a noise and you lay there in fear. I don't know if you ever went through that or not, but we were taught to fear. But anyway, when I finally gave my heart to the Lord, I didn't have to wake up in fear, because you can rest in Him, because you know your heart is right. Okay, so we have two more to do. Now, this one's an easy one to understand. Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, I don't know about you, but I know some people that just love to stir trouble up with other people. They enjoy it. They enjoy that constant bickering. I don't understand it, but I know there are people like that. And this, the peacemakers are like a healer to our souls. It says, they join together two opposing forces being reconciled. And you think about that. You know, when you build fences, and they say about building fences that you shouldn't do it, and having animosity toward people, that we need to keep peace. And I don't know, I apologize, I don't know where the scripture is, but it says that to keep peace with all men as much as you are able. So we're not supposed to be out there making trouble and enjoying seeing other people squirm, so to speak. They need to be at peace. And God does give us peacemakers. The last one, the last beatitude, it says, blessed are the those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God, and kingdom of heaven. So when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake, now if we do something bad and somebody persecutes us, I guess, you know, you get your just due, so to speak. But persecution, a lot of people in this world who for the faith have been persecuted. And sometimes we might suffer a little persecution in that somebody might not agree with us, might make fun of what we believe, argue with us, and we count that as persecution. But you know, we all know that there are people who have been martyred for the name of Christ, and we just need to be strong and stand for Him no matter what, because we're not to fear who can destroy the body, but who can destroy the soul. Although suffering is never fun, those who remain faithful through it are blessed to be identified with Christ. And the Bible says if you suffer with Him, you will reign with Him. God is good. He loves us so much. And I just pray that we can be all of these things. Let's be peacemakers. Let's be merciful. Let's be kind. Let's do the things that make the world a better place. And you think, you know, there was Jesus going through the hills and the mountains and on the hillsides, and all this crowd was following Him. Can you imagine that? I mean, and they did walk. Nobody was driving a car or anything like that. They had to walk. So Jesus came and gave His life for you and for me, and He is the only way, the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to Him, to God the Father, except through Him. So if you've never accepted Him, please accept Him. You'll never be sorry. He'll never let you down. You have a friend forever. He'll never leave you. You might leave Him, You might walk away and say, well, I don't believe that anymore, or get offended. And people do get offended about things and they turn their back on God. But he's not the one who offended you. And we need to forgive those who do. It says not to offend, but not be easily offended either. So let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for the blessing and for your precious word that through Jesus Christ you tell us how we need to live in this world. Pray that, God, you would bless and strengthen and be with all of us as we go through trials and temptations, and that you would give strength and that you would give joy. Pray that you would be with all those who are traveling today, those when we leave this church, that there would be safety and on the road, and just bless everyone this week in Jesus' name. Amen.